chapter number 10. I just want to share something with you that's on my heart this morning. Something's on my heart that God just laid on it. And I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. I want to be honest with the Spirit of God this morning. I just want you to be honest. Romans chapter number 10. We're going to begin reading this burning. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter number 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Here's my heart's desire and prayer this morning. It's my heart's desire and prayer is this, that everybody right now under the sound of my voice, and I'm not going to get loud this morning, probably not. Man, I've been dealing with my old voice here, and God knows you ain't got to get loud to get the point across. Amen. You can just do like Brother CJ if you want to. Just get up and say God loves you. Do like little Jackson did. Get up and read John 3:16. And the Holy Ghost just slapped me. Tears started flowing down my face. It don't take a whole lot. All it takes is Jesus. Amen. Amen. It took all the blood, though. He had to shed all the blood on Calvary's cross. He had to shed it all. He had to lay it all down. So this morning, my prayer is this, that everybody on the sound of my voice is saved. They truly know they're saved. They're not doubting. They're not pouting. They just know they're saved. They know that they've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That they know that. And here when we come this morning, here's what Paul said here when we come here. Here was his prayer and his heart's desire. His prayer and his heart's desire was that Israel might be saved. God's chosen people might be saved. So this morning, Romans chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, boy, ain't you glad for that word? Oh. For if BT shall call on the name of the Lord, he shall be. And Brother JD, Brother BJ, man, there's no, he don't discriminate. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I do love you and I do thank you for this morning. I thank you that you've accounted me responsible this morning to break bread with your people. I thank you that you've allowed me that opportunity. I thank you that you've given me Scripture to break bread with. I thank you that you've given me a mind to understand what you've got me to understand by the Spirit of God. Lord, this morning I ask you to guard my throat and my thoughts. Let me not say nothing to hinder, but only to help your people. And Lord God, this morning for that one that's sitting there that's been battling them all their whole life, and if they know Christ or not, I pray they get it settled this morning. I pray this morning for that backslidden Christian that knows they've been in places that they shouldn't have been. I pray they get it right this morning. Father, I'm praying this morning that we be a church that is built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. I pray we're set up on a hill, Father, that all can see you and not us. Lord, I pray this morning that we stand on the Scripture that says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Father, this morning I'm thankful to be here and I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful for your people and I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning you have your will and you have your way. Bring the one to the altar that I'm talking about this morning that only you know. Nobody else in this room knows, but you know. And Father, I pray they do business with you this morning. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we come. My heart's desire in prayer. Here Paul wrote and said that his heart's desire and prayer was that for God that Israel be saved. As a child of God, our desire this morning should not be but one thing. You should have one desire on your life this morning, and that desire is this, that folks be saved. In the book of Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 30, the Bible said, "For the root of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." You say, "Preacher, why was Paul so, why did he have this desire or this prayer?" Number one, I want to say to you, it's because he was concerned about the sinner. He was concerned about the person that was lost and that was going to hell. If you look with me in verse number 1 through verse number 6 there, you'll understand that the children of Israel, the people that was there, they had a zeal about God. I want you to know that they had a zeal or they had compassion about God, but not according to knowledge. Here, if you look, they were ignorant of God's righteousness and they were going about to establish their own righteousness. They were not lined up with the Word of God. They were not lined up with what God had called them to do. They were trying to keep the law and not to live by grace. They were trying to keep the law and keep the commandments. And as you get here, Paul was concerned about the sinner. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6 says, "But we're all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." As he got here and Paul looked upon these Israelites here and he looked upon them, here's what he said. He said, "I want you to know that your own righteousness is not good enough. What you do is not good enough. Hate to be saved and to be born again. You have to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ." This morning we would have not have baptized a BT if he had not been saved. He would have only got wet going through the water. We baptized him because he called on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that Paul was concerned about the sinner and he wanted them to repent and to get right. He said here in verse number 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." When you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, at that moment in your life, you're deemed righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." That is a true statement, but I want you to know you are righteous in the sight of God. When that blood's been applied to your life and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, at that moment you become the righteousness of God. I see that he was concerned about the sinner. We must not walk around living like the world lives and acting like the world acts. There must be a difference in our life. You say, "Preacher, how can you know that?" He was concerned about the sinner because he seen how close the Scripture was. I want you to look with me here. You say, "What are you talking about?" If you looked at the Israelites, they knew about God. They knew the Word of God. They knew how to keep rituals. They knew how to keep everything lined up. They knew how to talk when the certain crowd showed up. They wouldn't talk. They would talk the right way when the certain people got around them. They would live the right way when certain people came around them. They knew how to keep the law. They knew how to do what they thought was right. But here Paul said there's something better than the law, and that is the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, "I was concerned about the sinner because they were so close to the Scripture, but they were still lost." This morning, can I say to you, you can be so close to the Scripture and still be lost. You can memorize Scripture. You can hide the Word in thy heart and you can still be lost and doomed to a devil's hell. You can know the Word. You can live the Word. You can do what you want to do, but if you don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, when you die, you will spend eternity in a devil's hell. You'll bust hell wide open if you've never been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. You say, "Preacher, I'm a member of Union Chapel Baptist Church." That'll send you straight to hell. You say, preacher, I know that. I don't believe that. Listen to me this morning. Being a member of this church doesn't save you. You become a member because you are saved. Amen. I want to show you this morning. He was concerned about the sinner because he seen the closeness of the scripture. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 8. Here's what Paul said. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee. You say, what does that mean? It means that that word is so close to you that you can feel it. You say, preacher, how close is it? He said, the word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth. He said, you've got the word inside of you. You've got the word in your mouth. You tote it around with you. You can quote scripture. You can do that with the best of them. He said, but deep down in your heart, you don't know Christ Jesus. He said that that word is in your mouth. You can speak that word. You say, if somebody can quote scripture, that they must be saved. Oh no, Satan knows scripture better than you and I. This morning it was in their mouth and it was in their hand. They had it. They had the word. This morning everybody in this room has the word of God. You've got the word of God this morning in your hand. Just because you've got a Bible don't mean you're saved. Hello? Just because you're a preacher don't mean you're saved. Just because you're a deacon doesn't mean you're saved. This morning I want you to know that the word was nigh unto them. That scripture was so close. They had it, listen to me, they had it in their mouth. They had it in their hand. They held the scripture every day of their life. If this scripture's not in where it needs to be, I want you to know you will be lost. Here's what they had. They had it in their mouth. They had it in their hand. They had it in their head. They knew the knowledge of the word of God. And they even had it in their heart. But they were still lost. He said, what? Read with me, if you will, in verse number 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He was so worried about these folks. They knew things. They knew about the word of God. He said, my heart is desire is this, that if you're saved, live like it. If you're saved, produce fruit. If you're saved, be what God has called you to be. Here's what he said. He said, it's in your mouth, it's in your hand, it's in your head, and it's in your heart. He was concerned about the sinner. He seen how close they was to the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 14, the Bible says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. He said, preacher, do you believe somebody can tote a Bible? They can quote scripture. They can do all these things. And they can still be lost? Yes, I do. So how do you believe that? Because the Bible teaches it. He was concerned about the sinner, and he wanted a confession made unto salvation. Look what the Bible says after he told them how close the Word of God was unto them. Every Sunday, Sunday in, Sunday out, BT sat in this church. He came every Sunday. Every time the doors was open, he was there. He's went on mission trips many a times, and he went on them trips, Brother JD, and every time he sat in this church, every time he went on a mission trip, he heard the Word of God. He took his Bible. He heard what was going on. He heard people pray. He heard people preach. But I want you to know this morning, he was lost. He had done everything everybody else was doing, but he was lost. You said, did you know? How do you know that? Because he made the profession of faith that he didn't know Jesus, and he asked him to come into his heart. He said, it was nigh unto you. He said, preacher, you sure about that? You can have that word in your hand. But until you make a confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord, until you repent and ask Him to come into your life, you are lost. You can have 10 Bibles at home, one on the dash of your car, one on the end table. That will not get you to heaven. Mama and Papa, they can be the biggest saints you know, but that won't do you a bit of good. I want you to know Mom and Daddy can be the biggest saint you know, and you can hang your hat on them, and you can give all kind of accolades to them. That won't do you a bit of good when they'll come judgment day. This morning I want you to know that there must be a confession made unto salvation. Paul was concerned. Paul got to that place. He seen how close they was. And he said, come on over to the other side. Look what he said here. The confession unto salvation. He says in verse number 9, that word is so close. He said, and here's what you must do. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. He said, you've got it, but you ain't confessed it. You're all around it, but you ain't confessed it. You have not asked Jesus to save your soul. to admit you're a sinner, to believe that Jesus died and rose again to pay for your sins, to confess Jesus as Lord of your life, putting your total trust in Jesus as your only hope of salvation. Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, there's not a person in this room that I've ever led to Jesus that I didn't take them to Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it's got to be a confession. It's got to be a confession. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that 100%. I believe that a man must admit, or a woman, boy, man, woman, boy, or girl, must admit that they're a sinner. You can't be saved unless you know you're lost. And that's the problem we have in the world we live in. You've got to know you're lost before you can ever be saved. If you're out in the woods wandering around and you don't realize you're lost, you won't look to be some for somebody to find you. You've got to realize you're lost before you can ever be saved. Here we see that admitted there was a sinner, believed Jesus died and rose again to pay for your sins, and be willing to confess it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He said, preacher, must I believe? Must I believe? Must I make a confession? The only way you can be saved is confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can tote the Bible. You can hide the Word in your heart all you want to. But until you make Him your Lord and Savior, you've not met Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 37. I'll show you this in the Word of God. Acts chapter number 8. Let's go to verse 34. A confession must be made to salvation. A true confession must be made. And can I say to you, when you make that confession and you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, at that moment, chains are broken. Chains are broken. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 34, you know, Philip, he's talking to the eunuch. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, I just read it in the baptistry, and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip didn't say, well, because you got the word in your heart, you can be baptized. Philip didn't say, because you're a good feller, you can be baptized. Philip didn't say none of them things. Here's what Philip said. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe. Here's that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, I believe it. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I say to you, I see his concern for the sinner. I see how close the Scripture was, and that's why he was concerned. They were all around it, but they wasn't in it. I see he begged them to make a confession unto salvation because he wanted to see a change in that sinner's life. I want to ask you a personal question. I won't get real personal. I won't get real personal because I don't want nobody to answer it. But I want you to answer it personal inside, okay? What good is it being saved if there's not a change? Honestly, listen to me this morning. If you're saved and you're still living the same way, what good? How can you even say I'm saved? Talk to me some. What good is that? Brother Jerry Gabby, I use you because you won't mind, because I'm just going to use you. If you got saved, and you still went to the golf course on Sunday, what good would it be for you to be saved? No good. If you kept living the same way you did, what good would it be? No. Brother Brad, if you got saved and you still lived the same way and there was no change in your life, what good would it be? Exactly. Brother Brad, I'm going to ask you another question. If you got saved and there was no change, none, you couldn't tell no difference, you did the same old things, the same old way, you acted the same, you did the same, everything was the same, could you call yourself a Christian and saved? You kept doing the same old thing, living the same old way, doing the same old thing. You know what that's called? Insanity. And you're calling yourself a Christian. Doing the same old thing. And he was concerned about you. Did you have a Bible? Did you know John 3:16? Could you quote it when you was lost? Okay. Had a Bible. You could quote the scripture. Is that not what the Bible just said? It was nigh unto thee. But there had never been a confession. And there's never been a change. Folks, there's got to be a confession in your life that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and there becomes a change. You say, well, I've said the sinner prayer. That don't mean you're saved. I've quoted what the preacher said. I said it verbatim, word for word. I said it just like it was supposed to. That don't mean you're saved. What means you're saved is when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Come into my life and save me. And there's a change. There's a change. See, I don't see the change in this scripture. I want to show you the change. If you're in here this morning and you're living the same old way, make sure you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's not a person in this room. You say, preacher, why you do that? I've got a 14, whatever, I don't even know how old he is. He's just a big old boy. He ain't even through growing. But he sat among us every week. Went on mission trips, David Barnes. 4 of them. Sat every week. If he'd have died in between that and Monday, he'd have went to hell. And I just wonder who this morning I'm talking to that is sitting there and you're still living in your sins. You're still living right where you always lived. There's never been a change. There's been a prayer. But there's never been a confession. Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that you died on that cross and I'm willing to confess it to the whole world. I wonder who this morning I'm talking to. So preacher, act like you're upset. No, I ain't upset. I'm just very burdened. My heart's this. I don't want nobody in this room to leave this walk of life. We was over at Bulls building a ramp. Building a handicap ramp at Bulls. Justin Flippo, 29-year-old, was over there helping us build it. And one day this week, he went into work at Marathon and fell over dead. How much time did he have? Look, if you ask me, he had a long time, 29. He had plenty of time. I don't know if he had it right or not. I don't know. That's between him and the Lord. But I know this. At 29, he thinks he's had his whole life ahead of him. There's people in here right now. You think I've got it my whole life ahead of me. You're not promised tomorrow. God's giving you today to get to that place and say, I'm going to make a confession. I'm going to confess. I'm not going to let my wife. I'm not going to let my husband. I'm not going to let my kids wonder not one more day where I stand with Christ Jesus. I'm nailing it down today. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. When I leave this walk, my mama ain't got to worry where I'm going to spend eternity because I love Jesus. And there's been a change. I've confessed Him and there's been a change. I said, preacher, are you sure about that? Let me show you this. Say, no, I've got saved, but there ain't no change. You didn't get saved. Show what the Bible says. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 12, for there's no difference. You can't do it but one way, and He won't do it but one way. When He comes in and washes you and cleanses you, He changes you. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile, white, black, Mexican, American. They ain't no different. He does it all the same. If you're saved, he saved you one way. If you're cleansed, he cleansed you one way. For the same Lord, over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That change that's in a sinner's life, spiritually, Brother J.D., they become rich because their father's rich. Their father's not bound down. Why should they be bound down? They become rich. They become ready because they have a relationship now with Christ Jesus. For whosoever, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. Worry about what your neighbor thinks. Worry about what God thinks. He said, for whosoever shall call. Jesus! Jesus! Nobody's ever called on him that he didn't answer. Nobody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, not maybe, not might, not later on, but instantly. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there a change in a sinner's life? Yes, they become saved. If I'm living the same old life I lived before I got saved, I'd get in this altar this morning, I'd give my life to Jesus. I'd get in this altar this morning, I'd rededicate my life. I'd do something this morning and say, Lord, I may be doing this way, but I want you to know that I'm in love with you. Little Jackson, done John 3:16. For God so loved the world. The question's never been, does he love you? The question always is, do you love him? This morning I'm concerned. I see how close the scripture is. I see how close. Right there on you. I see all it'll take for you to be saved is a confession. To confess your sin before God. Call on his name. And that there might be a change. If you're in here this morning and you need a change, give it to God. That's the only way a change happens, is when you give it to God. When BT come in that room, we was about asleep, and after everybody walked off, he come back in. I said, you call your mama? He said, yeah, I called my mama. I said, you call Granny? He said, yeah, I called Granny. I said, what did Granny say? He said, oh, she's hollered. And I went down the list. Because see, if he wouldn't have called his mama, Brother Garrett, I'd been worried. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my... If he hadn't called his mama, I'd been... Because we all in here love our mama. He hadn't called his mama. And then when he called his... You see what he done? He confessed Jesus and then he wanted everybody to know it. He wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed of it. Can I say to you this morning... If you're ashamed of it, might be because you don't know him. Ain't no way a God that big can live in your life and you live like the world and be okay with it. Father, I love you. Take this mess and turn it into a message. That one knows right now, Father. Lord, I preached with a shotgun, didn't call out. Lord God, you shot with a rifle this morning. You pierced that heart already. And they're sitting there and they know that at the time of invitation, they need to get up and go. They know the life that they live, they need to get into an altar and get it right with God. Whoever it is, it's none of my business, but you've burdened me heavy with it this week. Lord, right now, if that man, woman, boy, or girl sitting there lost, been on this church row for years, but they know if they die, they'd bust hell wide open right now. Lord, they don't have tomorrow. We don't know. The only thing we know is we've got right now to get it right. And your word said that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. Lord, whoever I'm talking to this morning, I pray they not sit there through three stanzas. I pray that spirit draws so heavy they come to an old-timey altar and give their life to Jesus. They're tired. They're sick and tired of it. They're wore out. They're weary. They've wore that mask way too long. And they're tired of living that way. Would have probably done gave in weeks ago, months ago. But that stinking pride that I've had in my life the same way before, Father, it'll hinder us every single time. So Lord, I ask you this morning to bind that pride down in the name of Jesus and let them walk to your altar. I ask it and I pray it in no other name but the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Jesus' holy, precious name, we ask and we do pray. All of God's people said, amen. Ask